Fucking back. Welcome Sunday morning. Just got to get these intros knocked out of the way for you guys. So he tells his victims all you had to do was stay. It's Mr. Rob Fortune.
Thank you for that introduction. And now I'd like to introduce this man. You come around and the ovum falls. You inseminate the womb like a cannonball. It's Father Jomo.
It's pretty goddamn good, sir. It's pretty good. No one has Rob Fortune has wit that's unmatched. It's unmatched. Can we just appreciate that shit? Can we appreciate everything that Rob puts into?
I am quite great.
Yeah, we don't. The world does not deserve him.
He's the Kafka of our generation. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
And just as autistic.
I love how fucking Jack Falcon's like, oh, okay. Like he doesn't know who Kafka is because he's retarded.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't, dude. Becca calls me swine all the time. I don't know shit.
Oh, Schweine! You should call her Schweine. Like you should yell at her like in German and see what happens.
I hate you.
All right. His end game is being the first to finish the yucky cookie challenge. It's Mr. Jack Falcon.
Yo, would you do the cookie challenge, Jomo?
Bro, I would never do the yucky cookie challenge.
That's pretty gross. What is it, just like 10 guys come on a cookie and who's ever last has to eat it?
Yeah, that's the worst I've seen, and I stopped hanging out with these. So I used to skate kind of with a bunch of dudes in high school and shit. And there was this one crew that was like,
you mean roller skate, right?
No, fuck no. I would rape. I wasn't a fruit booter, fag. Like, don't I told you we're getting canceled because I'm using all the hate words.
Just bleep them out.
No, fuck that. Anyway, so I used to skate and like these dudes. One day we were playing a Counter-Strike at their house. We were at a big ass LAN party, and this dude was talking about like he's like, I bet if someone jerked off on a Doritos 3D, I wouldn't eat it. And they're like, bet you would. And like this kid who had muscular dystrophy jerked off on it, right? And
then
made him eat it. And I just went, yeah. I took my computer. I just straight up left, dude. It was like the weirdest shit that I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, I gotta go.
Bruh.
I gotta go. This is you can't make that shit up. This is like real life. That shit happened, bro.
Yo, they brought Doritos 3D back. You can get them at the store now.
I can't eat them because of the whole, like...
Yeah, it's ruined for you.
The mental PTSD, thinking that someone jerked off on it. I can't get past that.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So what else is new with everybody?
No, Rob, what's been going on, brother?
I don't know. I don't have anything to say. I'm good, though.
Rob is in Zen. He's doing his thing.
he's ready to talk Taylor Swift.
He's ready to talk Taylor Swift. Oh, ready. Jesus Christ. I didn't think we'd get here, but I had to put us here.
I want to know why you put us here. Was this Amanda's doing?
No. So out of nowhere, I've been thinking about like doing Taylor Swift, right?
Banging her? No, like knocking her up?
Well, you know what, dude? Here's the thing. I would, and then I would like divorce. I would like file the divorce and like have her beat my ass. Say things and have her beat my ass and then like just get the money. You know, get the bag and go.
$500 million.
Easy. I'd be like, oh, all this pain. I think I require $250 million. And like,
yeah, but then they're gonna say you're a dude. So shut the fuck up.
No, cares. Kelly Clarkson's husband got like a fucking payout, bro.
Oh no, shit. Why was he getting his ass beat or just for getting divorced?
I don't know. I think she got some side dick and he found out.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna talk about Taylor Swift today. We're gonna talk about four records. So. Before we start, I just want to talk about there are re-recorded albums. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I am awarding Taylor Swift like eternal G status. Okay, so the first six Taylor Swift albums, she owns the actual songs. She's a songwriter of them. She owns the sheet music, whatever you want to call it. Another company owns the actual master tapes that you hear on the radio and on the CDs and shit. So she wanted those master tapes, obviously. And I'm pretty sure they were like, yeah, give us $500 million or we're not going to give you the tape. So she's not going to pay it. Anyway, they sell them to all their buddies. They're all making money off this shit. So in retaliation, instead of just bitching and moaning about it or accepting it, she went back and she has re-recorded 4 of the 6 records. So she did Fearless in 2021, Red in 2021, Speak Now in 2023, and 1989 in 2023. You will see these albums called Taylor's Version. That's what that is. That is the re-recorded album. The fully fucking re-recorded record. So she now owns the sheet music and she owns the master tapes. So she has $1 billion now. She's going to have $50 billion by the time she fucking dies. So yeah, we've talked about the re-recording of albums. A couple bands have been doing it. Artist in the Ambulance was re-recorded by Thrice. Morning View was re-recorded by Incubus. Those are more like stylistic re-recording. So technical, monetary, skill limitations, or whatever the time to re-record them now to exactly how they want them to be. This is more of like a dominance spite re-recording, and I fucking love it. I think more people should do it if they find themselves in the scenario. It's not, you know, it's not like you snap your fingers and it's done. Recording a record is not easy. Going back to do it, a song you haven't played in fucking 10 years has to be difficult to be going through your entire past catalog, getting it all up to speed, sounding good. You know, you guys know all the shit. Anyway, last thing, Taylor Swift, her 2023 Eras Tour is the highest grossing concert tour of all time, grossed over $1 billion in only 60 shows. So some of the highest grossing tours are like 500 shows. Hers is 60. So I don't know if that just means that she just charged up the ass or how they got to $1 billion, if that's merch and fucking parking sales or what. I don't know what goes into that. But she has that tour in 2023 made over $1 billion with only 60 shows. I don't know if it's still ongoing or what, but it is currently the highest grossing tour of all time. So yeah, Taylor Swift is pretty much the biggest thing in music ever at this point. Is there anything anyone wants to say before we start this?
I died a little inside when you told me that.
That's the highest grossing one? Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, so I'm the thing about the re-recordings, like some of the originals I think are recorded in the the vocal recording is like pop style, where like there's one lead vocal which is like really high and then all the harmonies are really low, so it kind of sounds like there's one lead singer. And then the Taylor's version, it's more like I don't want to say it sounds like the Beach Boys or something, but like you can hear all of the harmonies. They're all like kind of like equalized. And so that was pretty interesting.
It's funny that when I was reading through some of the comments on the re-recorded versions, everyone's like, oh, this sounds so much better. It's like, yeah, would you really be fucking shit talking her other stuff if there wasn't a new version of it out? But yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. Let me drop this artwork. Let's begin. It's weird looking. So Taylor Swift is like 16 here or something. Taylor Swift is an 11-track record released in 2006, coming in just over 40 minutes long. It's Taylor's debut studio album, reaching number 5 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It contains the singles Tim McGraw, Teardrops on My Guitar, Our Song, Picture to Burn, and Should Have Said No. By the way, all this information comes from fucking Wikipedia. If it's wrong here, it's wrong there. Not trying to steal someone's actual work that they did. But yeah, this is where it all comes from. Swift developed an early interest in performing arts after watching a documentary about country singer Faith Hill. She felt sure she needed to move to Nashville, Tennessee. She felt sure she needed to move to Nashville, Tennessee to pursue a career as a country singer. At age 11, Swift traveled to Nashville with her mother to pitch demo tapes of karaoke covers to record labels for a contract. She was rejected because record labels believed country music's middle-aged demographic would not listen to music by a teenage girl, which Swift firmly disbelieved. Returning to her hometown in Pennsylvania, Swift realized she had to distinguish herself from other aspiring country singers. To this end, at age 12, she started writing songs herself and learned to play guitar with the help of a computer repairman who had fixed her family's computer on one occasion. That fact seems so whacked out that I almost don't believe it. Swift's love for country music alienated her from her peers, but her performance of the Star Spangled Banner at the 2003 U.S. Open caught the attention of a music manager who helped the then 13-year-old Swift get an artist development deal with RCA in Nashville. To assist Swift's artistic endeavors, her father transferred his job to Nashville and her family relocated to Hendersonville, a city close to Nashville, in 2004. Among Swift's inspirations were 1990s female country musicians, Shania Twain, the Dixie Chicks, Faith Hill, and Leanne Rimes, all of Jomo's favorite fucking artists of all time. Yeah. She signed with the Sony ATV. label at age 14 to become a professional songwriter, the youngest signee in its history. After the signing, Swift commuted from Hendersonville to Nashville every afternoon to practice with experienced songwriters. Swift is credited as a writer on all 11 of the album's tracks, three of which she has the sole writing credit, and all but one which she has the sole production credit. Drawing on her personal life, the songs reflect Swift's outlook as a teenager, dealing with romantic relationships, friendships, and insecurity. The finished product is a country record with pop and pop rock elements, incorporating acoustic instruments such as guitars, banjos, and fiddles. Recording took place over 4 months near the end of 2005, and when the recording and production wrapped, Swift had finished her first year of high school. Taylor Swift, the album, has been certified 7 times platinum, and at 2007's 50th Annual Grammy Awards, she was nominated for Best New Artist, but lost to Amy Winehouse. Rob, what do you think of Taylor Swift?
This is my first time ever, like, listening to Taylor Swift. I didn't really know what she sounded like, but I figured that I thought this is what she sounded like, and I thought that's how she sounded like her whole career. But yeah, it's my first time listening to her, and I... hearing what you just said, I think it's cool that she had determination. Like you know, there's people telling her not to do this, and she did it anyways. I think that's an admirable trait. So I don't want to talk too much shit about anything that anyone does when they're 15, 16, because if you're doing more than like getting pregnant at 16, then you're doing good. But yeah, so like
setting the bar really low, my friend.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. But yeah, to me, this is like the Nickelback of her career. It's metronome tight. It's competently performed. But I don't feel any magic or energy here. But again, I kind of hate like pop country. You know, so I'm not really the person. I have no interest in this record. But you know, it's not like she sounds awful. And I think it's cool that like she wrote her own songs and stuff. Whatever. But yeah, fourth place. I don't have much else to say.
So Rob and I had much different, like younger life experiences with music. When I was a kid, my mom. So okay, back in the day, you guys know what MTV is. Yeah. I sound like a boomer even fucking mentioning it. Well, there was multiple MTVs. Like, they were different MTVs. There wasn't just one. I mean, it was like MTV was its own thing, but other channels that did the same thing with different styles of music. VH1 had one that was kind of just like MTV, but country music, like pop country music, had its own channel called like Country Music Television or some shit. And it was pop country. It was the era that I was talking about earlier, the 1990 stuff, Faith Hill, the Dixie Chicks, that kind of shit. Shania Twain. And my mom always had that channel on, and it was always like playing in our house, and I always fucking hated it. Okay, so this album takes me back to there. Okay, so I've been confusing Taylor Swift with other singers for the past 10 years. Not that I listen to this shit, but whenever it comes up, it's probably been Taylor Swift, and I either think it's Avril Lavigne or Katy Perry. And there is times in some of these albums that I really get some Alanis Morissette. Anyway, I've definitely confused her shit with Katy Perry many times, or Avril Lavigne. Again, not that I listen to them that often, but there's a bunch of songs I never would have actually thought were Taylor Swift. This is her most country record. I think this album has aged okay. There are some bangers on it. There's a couple blah songs on it. I'm actually giving it number 2 for the week. There's banjo in here doing work. This is a very pop fucking country album. The country part of the pop doesn't completely go away right away, but by the time we get to the end of this episode, it will be non-existent in her music. So I think this album has aged okay. So there's going to be times where I fucking hate Taylor Swift's lyrics. I think that her lyrics on this album are corny, but they're okay. Like, some of the cornball is okay. Like this song Picture to Burn, there's like her and her friend talking in the beginning of the song, doing this like stupid sketch thing about how like, oh, there's my ex-boyfriend, he's letting his new girlfriend drive the truck, he never let me drive. And it's like it's cheesy as shit, but I think it's okay. There's a couple things, especially in like Taylor Swift's music videos, where her dorky kind of personality comes through, and I think it works for her a lot. There's a couple bangers on this though, like fucking I'm never going to admit it in public, but I think Teardrops on My Guitar, yeah, I wore that song banger status. There's another song on here called, where the fuck is it, Should Have Said No. Yeah, I'm giving that song banger status as well. I probably heard the song before. I thought it was probably Katy Perry or some other bullshit. Yeah, probably the best song on this record. Oh, by the way, when we talk about pop country, fucking Shania Twain, right, has the 8th highest selling album of all time, selling over 30 million copies. Come on over, which is like the highest is obviously Thriller by Michael Jackson. AC/DC is up there with Back in Black, but goddamn Shania Twain is like number 8. That's fucking, that's bonkers. She was really popular. She was hot as fuck back in the day too. Anyway, yeah, this album is kind of corny and cheesy at parts, but I think it's okay. I think it fits Taylor Swift. Jomo, what do you think of this album?
So when I love the history you were talking about, how Taylor Swift was, you know, she got into music because she was playing guitar and, she was learning guitar from a computer repairman. It kind of reminded me of the story of how Hitler survived the Battle of Verdun.
I knew this was the turn this was going to take. I knew it was going somewhere. I know you didn't actually give a shit about Taylor Swift's history.
So someone spared Hitler, just like someone, you know, got Taylor Swift into something she should never got into. And I love the white trash feels of this album, man. This is way before she became a slam piece. It's very wholesome. It's a good era for her. You want to believe she's just a simple country girl, but she's not, man. Like, her dad was a stockbroker. Her mom was an investment banker. Like, these motherfuckers came from money in shitty Pennsylvania, man. There's nothing special about this girl. She's just a spoiled little brat. I would say this, okay? Let me just get this off my chest. I despise country music, all right? Unless it's like Merle Haggard or the old school stuff, I really do not care for country music. It's self-loathing, and it's only poor people really listen to it, and I don't want to be part of those people. Taylor Swift, to me, like this era, she's like the Donald Trump of upper-class white people, bro. Like, she gives a voice to white women that they just don't need anymore. You know, why do they have it? Overall, this is a terrible album. 0 for 10.
Nice.
There's something I wanted to say about what you were just saying, what we were just talking about. Oh yeah. So, okay. You were talking about like Merle Haggard, David Allan Coe. I know a lot of that's like a buzz name now. Probably has been for a while. Hank Williams, that kind of stuff. You're right. There, Willie Nelson. There is country music, and then there's pop country. And it's like pop country really is not country music, but it's also like not pop. So it takes the name of two things that it like. I mean, it is pop, but it's not like pop music as in like where we're going with Taylor Swift here, which I would consider more pop music. It's like stuck in the middle, yet it takes the name of like both of the things. There's country things here, but you're right. It is not something like old school country. There's definitely like differences of the genre of music, but yeah, I don't know. There's banjos in it and shit. There's like slide guitar. So yeah, it's going to get lumped into it. I'm trying to think of like a hit by Shania Twain. That's like a rock song. Essentially.
I've never heard of one. I've never heard of a hit from her. So,
well, you have, because I just told you her CD sold like 30 million fucking copies. So at one point you've heard like Feels Like a Woman or some bullshit that she's put out.
That's because women buy into this stupid delusion all the fucking time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, look at the Kardashians. Yeah, they buy into this shit. It's okay.
I don't know why we just don't repeal, you know, the amendment, you know.
All right, let's talk about a couple songs. We'll move on. Okay, two songs are blah. Cold As You, blah shit, right? Mary Song, fucking blah shit as well. A Place in This World, one of the most pop country songs to ever be a fucking pop country song. So pop country of a song that I'm surprised it wasn't a single on here. And there's a song, Stay Beautiful. And Jomo, if you don't remember it, this is my note of this song. I can just imagine Jomo listening to it. And it never stops making me laugh listening to this song, picturing you fucking listening to it. It's pop country. Because there's one song in Taylor Swift's actual catalog that makes me want to blow my fucking brains out. We haven't got there yet. But this Stay Beautiful, I feel, is the one that would make Jomo reach that end. Anyway, yeah, I'm giving it number two. There's things I even if I, maybe like I don't love the style, I like it more than two of the other records on here. Let's read a couple of YouTube comments. First one, this is my favorite of her albums. I adore it so much. Yeah, Taylor Swift, in case people don't know, has created her own money printer. And good for you. Nintendo has a money printer. Taylor Swift has a money printer. And it will never run out of steam. Next comment. Do you ever think about how Tay-Tay has owned the music industry for 17 years? Oh, God, next one says, country Taylor will always be my favorite Taylor by far. Next comment, I screams my heart out. And lastly, Pictures to Burn is the most 2000 song I've ever listened to. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about the Taylor Swift debut album?
Next.
All right, let me drop this artwork.
Oh yeah, imagine that red lipstick somewhere. Oh yeah.
Red is a 16-track record released in 2012, coming just over 65 minutes long. It's Taylor's fourth studio album, reaching number one on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It contains the singles We Are Never Getting Back Together, Begin Again, I Knew You Were Trouble, 22, Red, Everything Has Changed, and The Last Time. Aiming to experiment with as many styles as she could, Swift decided for her fourth studio album, that her fourth studio album would not follow one coherent genre. To this end, she recruited musicians whose works she admired, hoping to learn from them. Although Swift wanted to experiment with various musical styles, she prioritized the lyrics over the production and strove to capture her emotions as she had done on her previous songs. Songwriting would start by identifying an emotion with a song. There is definitely a difference between how a man and a woman write lyrics and music. And production would follow. On songs Swift co-wrote, she first presented her On songs Swift co-wrote, she first presented her co-writers with the feelings she had been going through, played a rough demo on her guitar, and asked for their ideas on ways to better convey the story. Each song's production corresponded to the emotion it portrayed, resulting in an eclectic mix of styles. The first song written for the album was All Too Well, which Swift began writing in February 2011 during a rehearsal of the Speak Now tour, and by October, she had written around 25 songs. More than 30 songs were written for the album, 16 of which made the final cut of the standard edition. Of those 16 tracks, Swift was the sole writer of 10 and co-writer of the other six. Although Red transcends Swift's country roots, her storytelling ability, nurtured by this country background, remains intact in her songwriting. The album's title refers to what Swift termed as the tumultuous, extreme Red emotions that were evoked by unhealthy romantic relationships she was experiencing during the album's conception phase. Such emotions range from intense love, intense frustration, jealousy, and confusion, and shape the lyrics. The re-recorded album contains all 30 songs originally recorded for the 2012 release, including the charity single Ronin, the Little Big Town single Better Man, the Sugarland single Babe, the 10-minute version of All Too Well, and six other previously unreleased tracks. At 2012's 55th Annual Grammy Awards, We Are Never Getting Back Together was nominated for Record of the Year, but lost to Gautier with Somebody That I Used to Know. And at 2013's 56th Annual Grammy Awards, Red was nominated for Album of the Year, but lost to Daft Punk with Random Access Memories, and Best Country Album, but lost to Kacey Musgraves with Same Trailer, Different Park. And Begin Again was nominated for Best Country Song.
Jesus Christ.
For Best Country Song, but lost to Kacey Musgraves with Merry-Go-Round. Red has been certified 7 times platinum. Jomo, what do you think of Red?
This is like, to me, this is, hey, welcome to the indie pop version of Taylor Swift. This is absolute dog shit. I'm sure she was getting dicked down by somebody who was giving her like the inspiration to put out some half-hearted diatribe of unlistable music, man. Someone was dicking her down and she was enjoying it. And she was like, this is my inspiration that I need. And most of what I'm saying today sounds like a hater, but really I just want her to get some help from all her delusional ways and all her problems. I bet Taylor Swift refuses to suck dick simply because she believes she's bigger than that. There's women out there who suck dick and they're happy in their relationships. And then there's Taylor Swift, who clearly is like, she's one heartbeat away from, you know, Cobaining herself. There are too many sad, depressing tones on this album for me. It seems like she panders to every delusional cunt in America. And I can't stand it, man. I mean, sure, there's some good vibes and there's some good songs on here for her. And that's all she's doing is just, she's stroking her ego throughout this whole fucking album. And I can't stand it. She looks like Napoleon Dynamite. I don't understand what the fucking problem is. Why people think that she's like, she's tier. She's mid at best. I hate Taylor Swift. Thank you.
Wow, thank you, Jomo.
It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So lyrically, this is it's probably the most embarrassing. Yeah. So I think her last record, like I said, for her being so young, I think it's aged okay. It's kind of corny or whatever, but I think it's aged all right. When I listen to this record, I'm trying to imagine somebody actually writing it in the first place, and then I'm trying to imagine redoing it a decade later. Okay, so like, all right, so there is still some country on this album. There's some banjo in it. She hasn't gone full to the pop side yet, but she's on her way over there. I'm giving this number 3 for the week. Again, she's found that money printer, and every tween until the fucking sun explodes is going to find feelings in her music. So, you know, Jomo said she's catering to whatever she is. But she is also feeling this stuff. She has had tons of public relationships. You know the dude who played Loki in the MCU movies?
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Hiddleston or whatever his name is. She dated him for a while. She dated quite a few people. She dated John Mayer. Anyway, so yeah, these are apparently the people that she's writing about.
You know John Mayer went raw in that. You know that.
John Mayer's fucked a lot of hotties. Anyway, I'm Taylor Swift, she's a billionaire now, right? So she has her money in different things and she has different endorsements. I'm saying she just needs to go straight up, put her name on all kinds of female shit. Period products, pregnancy tests, menopause medication, just slap your name over all that shit. Now that you own the Masters, dude, become worth more than goddamn Elon Musk. Just slap your name on everything. Like girls, tweens, women, they all fucking trust you. So slap your name on all that shit. Who gives a shit? It doesn't matter.
She's gonna have an amusement park, Taylorland.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, why not? So okay, 22. Now I know that there are girls every day who sing the song into their hairbrush microphone like Jomo did last week.
Go fuck yourself.
But 22. 22 mm-hmm. is the only Taylor Swift song that makes me legitimately want to blow my fucking brains out. Mm-hmm. And if this song was in loop on my head for the end of my life, until the end of my life, I would dive off a fucking bridge and end it. I don't even mean to be rude. Like, I don't even think the song is like the shittiest thing ever made. But when I hear it, I'm just like, I fucking hate my life right now. It is like being surrounded by 25 fucking tweens. It's like, get away from me. Leave me the fuck alone. Anyway, so that's the way that song makes me feel every fucking time I hear it. A State of Grace. There's a lot of people who like this song. It starts this album. And they say it's her best opener. I agree. At least of the four that we listened to, I think it's the best opening song of the week that we listened to. Voices on point. Oh, and I wonder, I don't know how much tech assistance there is with Taylor Swift. I don't know how much autocorrect or autotune or whatever is going on with her stuff. I don't think any artist is really hitting every note always on pitch, but I don't know how much is actually being touched by that kind of stuff. When I hear a song like Holy Ground, right, this is one of the songs that I can't imagine lyrically being written because someone scribbled this in a notebook at some point, and I'm like, did AI write this? Did a fucking alien write this? Did a woman write this? Who the fuck wrote this song? And it's just lyrically, I can't imagine this song being written. And that's why I'm saying, like, men and women, musically and lyrically and emotionally, feel all kinds of different stuff and write all different stuff. But this is her fourth album. She's not fucking like 16. So when I hear Holy Ground, it's like, who is really writing this? I need to know what fucking AI program wrote this song. Rob, what do you think of Red?
I don't like 22 either. I when it comes to things like that, I don't know if it's because like every other normal person in the world like idealizes like high school and being a certain age, and I don't. And I don't know if that makes me weird or if that's a fucking pandering bullshit fucking song. But anyways, yeah, I hate 22 also. So I didn't know whether to give this record first or second place for me. I'm gonna give it first, whatever. Yeah, I love State of Grace. Okay, let me bring back my notes real quick. Hold on one second.
Were you on Pornhub? What the fuck is going on?
Sounds like you're clicking on Pornhub.
I'm experimenting a little bit with going on and off script because there's a couple of I feel ambiguous about like how much I write and how much is helping me, and like the smoothness of being off script is awesome, but I tend to stutter more and get lost, and then I'm like, oh, I should read more. So whatever, I'm doing a combination here. Yeah, so I heard of some of these songs before. I thought they were like Paramore or like who I kind of like, or Vanessa Carlton or some shit, which I don't like. So it was kind of interesting to find out. It was okay, this is Taylor Swift, who I think friend of the podcast Andy used to talk about Taylor Swift a lot, and I just fucking wrote it off. I don't know, whatever. Yeah, I love State of Grace, great opener, major key bliss. Love is a ruthless game unless you play it good and right. that's a lyric that I take to mean she's like a good girl on this album, which contrasts. I'm gonna be bringing that up again later, so just store that for later. Red is a 10 out of 10 song. It's probably my favorite song in her catalog. I kind of love this album. I think it's a major step in individuation from the 2006 self-titled. I think it's still trying to be like a copy of pop that came before. Like 22 reminds me of Alanis Morissette or something. And like you're saying, the pop country thing is still here, but it doesn't like kill me like it did on the last one. It's like it's a whisper of it. It's an amount that I can take, you know, whatever. I knew you were trouble. I heard it before. I like the verse, but not the chorus. It's, I don't know. And then Stay, Stay, Stay. I love the inclusion of he, he, he. That's so fun at the end is cute. We are never getting back together. Okay, that song turns up the ditziness and does not hide it. It includes supposedly candid recordings of actual conversation. It has dramatic teenager energy. Overall, I love this song and I find it hilarious. I cannot prove that this was intentionally hilarious, but it has the feeling of pro wrestling, something genuinely exaggerated to a level of caricature that contains its original. I don't know if I'm getting hoodwinked here, but to me, that song's funny. I don't know if it was intentional or not. Now, you may be saying, hey, Rob, you're basically the world's number one genius with a PhD in whiteness. But when it comes to understanding human relationships, you're as dense as a barbell. That's why I've created my new segment entitled Love Corner with Dr. Autism. I talk about romantic song lyrics and the things that make no sense to me. In Stay, 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 she throws her phone at the man, causing a $400 repair bill, which will take her 1 second of performing on stage to recoup. The man then sleeps over. Where? On the couch? In the same bed? And in the morning, she decides it is time to fix her relationship. He comes back with a football helmet on to say, yes, I condone violence towards me and our property. I don't know whether her tendency towards her violence... nor his enabling is normal or insane. I love I Almost Do. There's a line that's probably extremely cheesy, but I love it anyways. I can't say hello to you and risk another goodbye. Song describes contradictory emotions and behavior. I comprehend the I want you, I can't have you, I need to keep my distance part of it, but the I display that I don't care, but I want you to know that I do care part is the part that makes no sense. You're destroying your strategy by revealing this part. Either you assume the role of cold-hearted meanie and do no contact, or you get sucked back into the vortex. At least, that's how Dr. Autism sees it. First place for the week. That's it.
I want to put the clap in. Hang on. Where's the clap? Where's the clap?
You fucked it up.
Here we go.
You fucked it up.
or the air horn.
You need the air horn. That was some good shit.
So, okay. I knew you were trouble, right? I knew you were trouble. I'm awarding that song banger status. It has to be one of the most popular in her catalog. So if you go to her YouTube channel, a lot of her videos have billions of views. Billions. We're talking November Rain numbers here.
Oh, disgusting.
The song Red, right? I hate the verse in that song, but I like the chorus. But I don't like the chorus enough to have to deal with the verse. So I feel like I'm throwing that song out. There's a couple songs like All Too Well. That is a song. Okay, I would say that easily could have been a single, but that's like 2006 era Taylor Swift single. She's pivoting now. She's getting there is country here. Stay, Stay, Stay is a very country song. I agree at the end when she says that was fun or whatever. It is a moment that I think a lot of people remember. It seems like the thing about Taylor Swift is I don't feel like she's a liar. I feel like she is a genuine person. But that song, okay, we talk about embarrassing songs to roll into public playing. That's high on the list. Stay, Stay, Stay. If I roll into public accidentally playing that song, I'm just turning around and cutting those people out of my life. I don't know you anymore. One of the last songs on this album, Everything Has Changed, has Ed Sheeran in it. Okay, I was talking to Becca last night. We were playing Castle Crashers. Great fucking game. Or maybe it was the day before, listening to a bunch of these records. I'm like, yo, Ed Sheeran, first of all, I'm going to be real. I respect Taylor Swift. I really do. At least in a business sense, if I don't love everything she's done. Ed Sheeran, if you love Ed Sheeran and like you have his records and you listen to them, like, I don't know if there's any hope for you. I don't know. He's the most boring shit I've ever heard. Like when I go to Ultimate Guitar to like look at a tab and his shit is like number one searched, it's like, how? What fucking aspiring guitar player is coming to Ultimate Guitar to learn Ed Sheeran songs. Anyway, it's probably the guy with the roofie culotta in his backpack who's going to fucking to parties to play and try to impress women. Anyway, Becca calls them a power couple, which, you know, monetarily and in the amount of money that their music makes, sure, they are a power couple. However, it's just every time I hear him, I'm fucking bored to death. And I just don't understand why anyone who is like a big Ed Sheeran fan. So she has the duet or whatever. That song can go fuck itself. But there's another duet on here, or at least a song where she has a guest, which is called The Last Time. Which is a song I like a lot. The lyrics are kind of lame, but the melodies and the harmonies are legit. And so I probably have heard the song before. I'm guessing I have. I didn't realize it was Taylor Swift because it's like, okay, so this features the singer of Snow Patrol, which everyone knows, like the one hit that they had, Chasing Cars or whatever. He does have a great voice. When I was listening to this week, I was like, oh, that's probably the dude from Coldplay, but it's not. It's a dude from Snow Patrol. But anyway, I probably thought that it was like their song, not Taylor Swift's, because he kind of takes like the driver's seat in the song and she's kind of backing him up. But that song's good. I like the song quite a bit. I would listen to that song and not be embarrassed if I rolled into a fucking public with it. We're Never Getting Back Together. Okay, so I talked about I Knew You Were Trouble, giving that song banger status. It's fun. It's catchy. We're Never Getting Back Together. Yeah. So that's the fun kind of Taylor Swift song that I can't fucking stand. I'm saying that song's probably shit tier. I don't know. I'm not in on it, but yo, there are people singing that song right now as we're talking, loud as they can because they're fucking ending a relationship. She has put her emotions into these songs that will forever resonate with every, again, girl, tween, woman, fucking 90-year-old lady on planet Earth who have felt this. So the money printers will never fucking end. I don't know. There's just things that I do like. I do like that there still is some country here, even though Stay, 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 I feel like is lame. It's kind of fun. I don't know. There is some banjo still going on here, so it's not gone. But in general, some of the embarrassment I feel of the lyrics and some of these songs, especially fucking goddamn 22, which is the bane of my existence, I'm giving this 3. All right, let's read a couple YouTube comments. First, I'm so proud of her for not backing down and doing what she wants with her music. Yeah, absolutely. The music industry can go fuck itself. So if anyone thinks I'm going to back them over Taylor Swift, I'm going to back every artist over the stupid ass piece of shit music industry every day of the fucking week. Next one says, why is every damn song on this freaking album so good? Next, I always thought that Red showcased Taylor's vocal ability the best out of all of her albums. Next comment, till this day, State of Grace is still Taylor's best opening track. And lastly, this makes you want to live. Jomo, when you listened to this record, did you say, I fucking want to live now?
No, I wrote a note. I'm not going to tell you what the note was about, but I wrote a note.
Okay.
you're assuming right in your head what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything else that anyone wants to say about Red?
So actually, I listened to this album a lot, like at full volume in the Amazon van, and I don't feel embarrassed at all. I think... I started this week not knowing what to think. I thought this was going to be like a shitty pop country band that I fucking hate. Yeah. I kind of fucking love Taylor Swift. I think I like her more than Britney Spears, probably more than Justin Timberlake. I might even like her more than Michael Jackson.
Fuck you.
I was actually thinking about this the other day when I was listening to Taylor Swift, and I was like, you know, I don't think I like her as much as Britney Spears. One thing I do like about about Taylor Swift is that she grows with her audience pretty much at least until where we ended up. She's continuously growing with them. When the lady was writing the Harry Potter books, right? Like if you write something that like an 8-year-old would like, probably like a 15-year-old is going to be like, that's fucking boring. That shit's lame. So you have to grow with them. Otherwise, they're going to leave and move on to something else, which is completely fine.
It's called staying relevant.
Yeah, staying relevant. Yeah, you gotta grow with everybody else. And I think Taylor Swift, even though there's shit that she does that I can't fucking stand, she is growing with them. And there's always going to be, remember, there's someone on Earth who loves Chinese democracy. So someone on Earth who's going to fucking love anything. And I don't mean to like put her down with that. But I'm just saying, yes, there are... let's move on. We'll get to there because I want to talk about it. All right, let me drop this artwork. And this picture is actually an actual Polaroid. 1989 is a 13-track record released in 2014, coming just under 49 minutes long. It's Taylor's fifth studio album, reaching number one on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It contains the singles Shake It Off, Blank Space, Style, Bad Blood, Wildest Dreams, Out of the Woods, and New Romantics. Taylor Swift has identified as a country musician until she released her fourth studio album, 2012's Red. The album's associated world tour was the all-time highest-grossing country tour when it completed. Although Red features a few country-oriented songs, its pop-leaning production and commercial success sparked a media debate over Swift's status as a country artist, to which she replied in an interview to the Wall Street Journal, "I leave the genre labeling to other people." And see, it's comments like this and actions like re-recording your albums that is just fucking gangsta status to me. She could get all fucking lumped in with all bullshit and whine and bitch, and she could go out in the beginning of her concerts and be like, "Yo, how big of an asshole is this guy who owns the rights to my music?" And then all of her tween fans could fucking be like, "Yeah, fuck that guy." But instead, she just mans up and goes and fucking re-records them. 1989 prominently incorporates synthesizers, programmed drum machines, pulsating bass lines, and processed backing vocals, a stark contrast to the acoustic arrangements of Swift's past albums. Because she aimed to recreate authentic 1980s pop, the album is devoid of contemporary hip-hop or R&B crossover elements popular in mainstream music at the time. As with Swift's past albums, 1989 is primarily about the emotions and reflections resulting from past romantic relationships. Her songwriting retained its storytelling, which has been nurtured by her country music background, but is more ambiguous and embraces pop music songwriting, prioritizing emotional intensity and general ideas over intricate details. The album's liner notes collectively tell a story of a girl's tangled relationship. Ultimately, she finds that she lost him, but she found herself, and somehow that was everything. Swift named 1989 after her birth year and said it is signified a symbolic rebirth of her image and artistry. The cover is a Polaroid portrait of her face cut off at the eyes, which Swift said would bring about a sense of mystery. The Polaroid Corporation reported that the 1989 Polaroid concept propelled a revival in instant film, especially among the hipster subculture. At 2014's 57th Annual Grammy Awards, Shake It Off was nominated for Song of the Year and Record of the Year, but lost to Sam Smith with Stay With Me, and Best Pop Solo Performance, but lost to Pharrell Williams with Happy. By the way, Taylor Swift has been nominated for like 52 Grammy Awards and has won like 12. At 2015's 58th Annual Grammy Awards, 1989 won Album of the Year and Best Pop Vocal Album. Blank Space was nominated for Record of the Year, but lost to Mark Ronson with Uptown Funk, and Song of the Year, but lost to Ed Sheeran with Thinking Out Loud. Bad Blood won Best Music Video and was nominated for Best Pop Duo Group Performance, but lost to Mark Ronson with Uptown Funk. 1989 has been certified 9 times platinum. Okay. I'm giving this album number one for the week. She's gone full pop here. The country's gone. She's made the turn. I like the style. I don't think that every song here is good. But the thing of it is that she's not putting out the same thing either. I actually haven't brought this up in a while, but the problem with being a media creator, music, movies, whatever, if you only make the same stuff, everyone's going to say, "Oh, you never changed and you made the same shit for 20 years. When you change, everyone's going to say, "Hey, you changed and you don't make the same shit that I wanted to hear." So it's a fucking lose-lose situation. It doesn't matter what you do. Again, you have to grow with your audience, and she's doing that here. Oh, and then also on Wikipedia, it says critics and academics have considered 1989 an album that transformed Swift's status to a pop icon. And yeah, this is pretty much the turning point. I didn't say it when we talked about the 2006 album, but that is not a billion-dollar musician, superstar, whatever the fuck you want, icon, whatever you want to call Taylor Swift. That version of her is not. This version of her is. I think that this is the one that fucking means business. All of her albums have had tons of singles, yet there's like still room for more. Okay, Welcome to New York. Song is probably blasted in every goddamn New York club for fucking years. Boring as hell. I never want to hear it again. Like, off to a bad start for me. Blank Space? I'm giving that song fucking goddamn banger status. No brand or single. Oh, and there's times where Taylor Swift will be singing, and then she will stop and she will talk or say something like playfully in the lyrics. And I fucking love that. And she does it really well. Blank Space, I've probably heard before. I thought it was Katy Perry for like a fucking decade now. Style, not my favorite song. I see the appeal. Again, like, it shows a musical pivot. One of the things about singles is that you want the single to be representative of the album that you're putting out, right? And when you don't do that, it's kind of like misleading to selling the album. Not like maliciously, but one thing that I wanted to say was, when we were talking about that shitty ass Ed Sheeran song, I was in the last album, like, Everything Has Changed, I was like, why is this a single? And then I was thinking, oh yeah, it was probably contractually obligated to work with Ed Sheeran to make it a single. If we work together, it has to be a single on your fucking record. Otherwise, we're not going to do it. Because again, like, when I listen to things like The Last Time, that song is fucking way better than, like, Everything Has Changed. Anyway, there's a bunch of singles on here. This is my favorite aesthetically, musically. It's just a cool record. And I agree. Like, she's kind of gone from that 2006 era thing, and she's become, I don't know, like, a whole different entity almost. Rob, what do you think of 1989?
Yeah, I thought about giving this number one for the week. I think this album's, like, probably more consistent than Red. But I thought Red had more, like, 10 out of 10 songs. But whatever. I'm giving it second place. Maybe it deserves first, but I'll give it second. I love this moment, like, the moment I turned it on. Welcome to New York. You don't like it, and, like, by plays-wise, like, it's not really a fan favorite, but I fucking love it. Who fucking cares? To me, it's, like, Major Key Bliss. It's synth pop, but with a production that doesn't bother me. So, like, for that alone, Taylor Swift is top-tier pop in my eyes. Blank Space... there's something about that song that annoys me. Everyone else loves it. You know, whatever, I skip it. It contains the lyric, "I can make bad boys good for the weekend." Like, that contrasts with Bad Blood. Here's a lyric from Bad Blood. "Now we got problems, and I don't think we can solve them. You made a really deep cut, and baby, now we got bad blood. Did you think we'd be fine? Still got scars on my back from your knife. Still don't think it's in the past. These kind of wounds, they last and they last." So basically, it's a combination of, you've hurt me, I've had some thoughts about reconciliation, but I'm not sure I can forgive or forget. There's hemming and hawing here. There's a clear blame placed on the man, but no clear decision to leave. And now, on this episode of Love Corner with Dr. Autism, "Wildest Dreams," she describes having a wonderful time with some man, which is apparently time that is going to expire. Why? Does he have to go back to his wife? Does he start his new job at NASA on Monday? She then needs to have the fantasy that they will reunite. So why is it the women say stuff like, "After all that, he didn't even call me. What are we supposed to talk about? Hey, it's me, that guy you banged. What do you like better, Pizza Hut or Taco Bell?" Now it turns out that I do understand this phenomenon of lying and or fantasy if you explain it as two men talking to each other. I will now read an internet meme in its entirety. "Started tone matching my Iraqi corner store guy. I walk in. The big boss himself. Where have you been hiding? At school, where I missed you so dearly. Habibi, you are my number one guy. I will never betray you. King of my heart and the true big boss. It is doing wonders for my mental health. I show up, he tells me he's looking for my wife. I say, I will starve if I have to buy chips from anyone else. I buy my cigarettes, we gas each other up a little bit more, and we both leave in a better mood. I just gave the big boss his Christmas present. He said, how did you know pistachio was my favorite? I said, my friend, you told me once. How could I forget? He said, you are a good man, bigger than a man, a lion. I said, you deserve the world, and I really meant it. This I understand. If any of these obvious exaggerations were said to me, I would not question their validity. I wouldn't ask for proof. The mere enthusiasm is reward enough. So that's what I have to say. That's Dr. Autism's take on this album. I'm giving it number two for the week. That's it.
Nice.
I was ready that time. Thank you, Dr. Autism. So two good songs. I Wish You Would. I'm going to say good song, I'm in. Bad Blood, I'm in. Two shitty songs. Out of the Woods, garbage tier. Boring as hell. And I know millions of fucking people somewhere love it, and they're going to defend that song. I don't care. How You Get the Girl. All right, song that's practically emotional torture for me. Blast that shit in Guantanamo to torture the prisoners there. Jomo, what do you think of 1989?
Oh, my God. the blank space is what's between Taylor's ears. in an alternate
universe. Bro, that's low hanging fruit.
That's but I'm punching up, not down. I'm punching up. In an alternate universe, I imagine the 9/11 hijackers playing Welcome to New York as they crash in the World Trade Center. you know, just to make me happy, you know. Some dude must have fucked her pretty bad for her to like put out this album with so many subliminal bangers. I would think, honestly, in the duality of Jomo, this is the fucking the hot album, man. This is it. This is peak Taylor. But in my curmudgeon Jomo, this song, it just, the style of Taylor Swift is very mid. And just based off of the guy she's been with and how they just use her and dump her, I think her pussy ain't shit, man. It really is just, it's nothing, man. She's our own worst enemy. I feel bad for the Kansas City Chiefs right now after she's done with Travis Kelce. And whatever that album comes out to be, I know it's going to be hot fire because he's going to fuck over pretty good. Album is, we'll say 2 out of 10 for me. But I just, I don't understand. It's mainly because I don't understand women and how emotional and illogical they are in their own brain. They think the world revolves around them. And truly, the world revolves around Taylor.
I was questioning this week. Yeah, I mean, there are times where I was like, Taylor Swift is mid. I don't think she's mid. I think she's above. I think she's above average. I don't think she's mid. So, okay, here's the thing. Okay, Shake It Off, right? Probably the tween anthem, one of those money printer songs. I have to ask Jomo a question.
Yes.
What is more embarrassing for white people, Taylor Swift rapping or Geddy Lee rapping?
I would... How fucking dare you?
they're both pretty embarrassing.
Taylor Swift is the most embarrassing thing to happen in America, other than slavery. That's pretty embarrassing.
So I was in the gym like 8 months ago. I mean, I've been in the gym since then. But like when I was in the gym specifically like 8 months ago, there was like this 10-year-old girl who was in there with her mom blasting the fucking Shake It Off song. And I was like, God damn, this is hell for me.
She was blasting it like on the speaker or what?
Yeah, like on her phone, yeah.
So you should punch her out of societal norm to like, hey, put the headphones on.
Here's the thing. I was using the free weights when they came in, and I was like, okay, like this chick, you know how like a chick, that's weird. This young girl, who's like 10 years old or whatever. I guess tween would be, yeah, that's tween, 10 years old. Yeah. Because she was like, I don't really want to be rude, but she was chubby. And so I was like, yo, okay, as soon as I'm done with the weights, you know, they got like 15 minutes. She got to be out of breath by then. Yo, she was fucking stepping it out. Like, she kept going. I was like, God damn. She kept going for like another like 15 minutes after that. I was like, good for you. But yeah, she was blasting this fucking Shake It Off song. And that's when I was like, yo, this is hell. This is my hell. This is like real actual hell for me. But yeah, it has to be one of her most popular songs. Wildest Dreams, one of the best on the record. But I don't think it's going to have the pull of Shake It Off. Like, Shake It Off and We're Never Getting Back Together. And like, she has like... Taylor Swift has tons of singles. She even has like big bangers that we didn't even cover. There's a song, Love Song, that so at one point during the week, I just put on like her greatest hits. Like, people just put her music videos in like a playlist. And yeah, there's tons of songs even there. We're not even going to talk about that are like big banger hits. So she's got a billion of them. But yeah, that girl was definitely blasting that song. And I was like, this is hell for me. Anyway, yeah, this is number one for me though. It's good. It's a good pivot for her. Let's read a couple YouTube comments. First one says, I'm currently redecorating my room, blasting this. Next one says, Taylor Swift is hype. Next one, my favorite album, 10 out of 10. Next comment, I'm a total Swiftie. And lastly, this is a great album, but I'm more of a Reputation girl.
Oh, God damn it.
Is there anything that anyone wants to else? Is there anything you motherfuckers want to say about 1989?
Probably the best Taylor album, if I'm being nice about it.
Nice.
Yeah, there's some in between. The one that came out before Red, people seem to like quite a bit as well.
Is it Fearless or whatever the fuck it is?
No, that was the one after the first one. There's one more in between. Hang on, let me pull it up. I gotta know now.
Some Daft Cunt album. I don't know.
I don't know. I gotta know now. Hang on a second. Hang on.
Daft Cunt. That should be a band that Taylor gets. It's like the fucking super group.
Oh yeah.
Taylor Swift can do that. She is like insanely powerful in the entire world right now.
When is she gonna put out a metal album? Let's go. Let's
yo, you know that shit would be sick. No, I think it's Speak Now. Speak Now was like the third one.
Yeah. Yeah, you could definitely tell by the album artwork. Listen now. She got railed. She got railed bad.
Yeah, she's had quite a few. I was gonna read her escapades or whatever. Not trying to be rude about it because I don't care. I'm not. I don't care how many dudes women have fucked. I don't care how many women dudes have fucked. But she has definitely been with some people that are really famous.
Color is the Between the Buried and Me album.
Yeah. Yo, so the show we played yesterday was like a fest. There was 20 bands at it. It was pretty fucking sick. Yo, I hit the loudest pinch harmonics constantly. It was so fucking good.
Hell yeah.
What's up, Jomo?
Did you do any crickets?
Yo. No. I still play the Les Paul, so I don't have a whammy bar. I think you need the whammy bar to do the crick. No, because what's his name? Oh, yeah. Did he switch guitars? Because his name was playing an SG and a bunch of that. But
so what happened to the other guitarist? Why do you only have just one guitarist in the band?
No, we don't. We have two, but the bass player couldn't make it. So Nick, who is one of my best friends ever, he plays guitar, but he also can play everything. So he plays drums in a band, he plays bass in another band, and he plays guitar with us. But the bass player couldn't make it yesterday, so he played bass. We played one. So Nick had a kid a while ago, so we've had to play shows without him. And then Anthony, who plays bass, had a kid recently, so we had to play shows without him. So anytime there's a revolving door, we obviously need the drummer and we need the singer. But at any point, we just need one guitar player and one bass player. We played one show where Nick and I both played guitar instead of a bass, and it was, we bounced immediately afterwards. We're like, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Because I told him, I was like, do you think you are periphery?
I told him, I was like, yo, you should play bass. He's like, no, I'm going to play guitar today. It was fucking gone. I was like, let's go. Let's get the fuck out of here. But yeah, it's the only time we did that. But yeah, as long as there's one bass player, one guitar player, singer, and a drummer, we can do a show. But it's not the same without all five. And I value everybody equally, and it's not tied together unless all five people are there. There's still times we've played good shows with four of the five, but it's not that when I want you guys to come see us, I want it to be a full band of five. Cause I want it to be at fucking, properly where it's supposed to be.
Let's finish this shit out.
Okay.
Yeah. When are we going to do a Hollow Teeth episode?
We're recording a couple songs at the end of January, and then we are re-recording our demo sometime soon.
I told you I'll produce it if you name it Jomosexual.
Yeah, I know, and no one's going to go for it, unfortunately. so we will be recording stuff, plus I've been listening to Old Calcutta again, so I've been motivated to write quite a bit. Anyway, let's finish this up. Reputation is a 15-track record released in 2017, coming just under 56 minutes long. It's Taylor's sixth studio album, reaching number one on the US Billboard 200 chart. It contains the singles Look What You Made Me Do, Ready For It, Endgame, New Year's Day, Delicate, and Getaway Car. Reputation is primarily an electro-pop album and incorporates a large electronic production, and Swift's voice is heavily manipulated, either distorted or multi-tracked. Swift associated Reputation's sound with the imagery of nighttime cityscape, old warehouse buildings that have been deserted and factory spaces. Publicized celebrity disputes and romantic relationships inspired the album's songs, like all of her records, which are about anger, vengeance, and ultimately finding solace in love. Swift worked to produce an electropop and R&B record with elements of urban styles such as hip-hop, trap, and EDM. I don't even know what trap is. Its densely arranged electronic sound is characterized by programmed drum machines, pulsating synthesizers, and bass and manipulated vocals. During seclusion from public appearances, Swift wrote Reputation as a defense mechanism against the rampant media scrutiny targeting her and a means to revamp her state of mind. Although media gossip was a major inspiration, reoccurring romantic themes of love and friendship had been dominant in Swift's songwriting remained intact. She recalled that amidst the battle raging on outside, she found solace in quiet moments with her loved ones, and began creating a newfound private life on her own terms for the first time since starting her career. Swift executive produced the album, co-wrote all of its 15 tracks, and wanted to record the album in secrecy, so the studio computer was kept offline to prevent a possible internet leak, and deleted the trials once the mixing and mastering finalized. I just got to throw a clap in there.
Oh, Jesus.
Everyone, All people are like, yo, we want to record this in secrecy, and they're online and shit, and they get hacked. It's like, dude, come on. Unplug that goddamn shit. I'm pretty sure when George R. R. Martin writes Game of Thrones, he is writing on a computer that is like from the 80s that is not connected to the internet. Endgame features guest appearances from the English singer-songwriter Ed Sheeran and the American rapper Future. At 2018's 61st Annual Grammy Awards, Reputation was nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album, but lost to Ariana Grande with Sweetener. And yeah, her name is Ariana Grande, and I was, when someone first told me that was her name, I was like, there's no way her last name is Grande. It's Grand. And they're like, no, it's Grande. I don't know what woman would want to be associated with Grande. But yeah, that is her name, Ariana Grande. I know I sound like a boomer, but like, I would just, you know, like when you go to Mexico and you buy clothes, a large is called a Grande. So it's like a lot of people I don't think want to be associated with that word. Anyway, Reputation has been certified 3 times platinum. Rob, what do you think of Reputation?
I'll give it third place. First song has some dark, Nine Inch Nails-esque keyboards in the verse, and then like some like marimba-sounding keyboard pop for the chorus. It's quite a contrast. You know, does it work? Does it not work? I don't know. I'm getting like Britney's Toxic era vibes, where it's like more dissonant, but it's still pop. Okay, some lyrics. I never trust a narcissist, but they love me, so I play them like a violin, and I make it look so easy. Because for every lie I tell them, they tell me 3. This is how the world works. Now all he thinks about is me. I can feel the flames on my skin, crimson red paint on my lips. If a man talks shit, then I owe him nothing. I don't regret it one bit, because he had it coming. Then I say I did something bad. They say I did something bad. Then why does it feel so good? They say I did something bad. Then why does it feel so good? So negging, I'm bad, but it's justified. He deserves it because he's worse. So there's like hedonism. There's, blame shifting. And I do it over and over and over again if I could. It just felt so, so good. So this is quite a pivot from the 2014 album. The good girl energy is gone. This is about owning how vicious you are with no guilt or remorse. But I got smarter, I got harder in the nick of time. Honey, I rose up from the dead, I do it all the time. I got a list of names, and yours is in red, underlined. I check it once, then I check it twice. Oh, look what you made me do. Getting harder, that's adjusting to the cruel world by becoming crueler herself. Look what you made me do is a now famous line often said by alcoholic husbands who abused and then shifted blame onto their wives. This is dark stuff about mistreatment that was done to her that then twisted her personality, making her bitter and vengeful. Vengeance sucks. Old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. She's dead. Yeah, I think 2012 to 2014, Taylor was a catch. She was moody, maybe dangerous. She'll throw a phone at your head. But I think she was a catch in some ways. But here's the thing, that like that moodiness that she was in those eras like leads exactly to the 2017 vengeful Taylor that you see now. And like the 2017 vengeful Taylor is a person I would avoid. But, you know, whatever. And this is the stereotype that I keep hearing about, that men fall in love with the young version of the woman who hasn't seen enough of the world or developed her for a full personality yet. And then, like, you know, the normal passage of time, and then the full personality comes out, and it's no longer something that the man wants. And that is why the only dating that Dr. Autism does is updating spreadsheets. Third place. That's it.
Nice. Okay, there's not a ton of records I really hate. I think I hate this album. It's easily fucking, it's easily dead last for me.
Good.
Now, I've said it before, I appreciate Taylor growing up with her audience. I appreciate her talking about getting drunk and fucking on this record. I really do, but it's so flat and boring to me. She made the right moves though, because like, okay, this is not the end game for Taylor Swift. She's put out a acoustic record or two later on after this. She has a couple more albums. She obviously has her previous catalog. So like she's all over the place genre wise, which means she's like picking up fans all over the place. So she made the right moves with what she was doing. This is apparently known to have been a polarizing album. Someone has to love it as much as I hate it. And when I looked at, so I did read a couple lists of Taylor. Now I'm thinking Taylor Hawkins, Taylor Swift's albums ranked. some people had this dead last and some people had it at number one. So yeah, it's all over the fucking place. Ready for it. I fucking hate everything about that song. Musically, I think it's especially fucking awful. Let the dance clubs have it. I never want to fucking hear it again. Look What You Made Me Do. The song has over 1 billion views on YouTube, which isn't completely unheard of for Taylor Swift, but it's high. I feel like the song is so flat and fucking boring. It's like the flat line of a heart rate monitor. Like, I'm listening to this shit, and I'm listening to the song, and I'm picturing an Aqua Teen episode where they write this exact song as a fucking parody of this style of music, and Shake is like dancing on the floor of a fucking dance club. That's like what it makes me think, but this is an actual fucking song that has 1 billion views on YouTube. I Did Something Bad should have been a single. I don't necessarily like it, but I know that people do. And so, yeah, this is very, you might ask yourself, is there a single instrument on this entire record? There is, actually. Yeah, New Year's Day, there's instruments in there. There's a piano in there. It sounds like something that would have came from Red. I don't know if I like the song because it's the last song in this album and it fucking finally ends, or because like it doesn't make me immediately angry. This song has like grown on me quite a bit. Like, I don't like it. Like, I don't ever want to hear it again. This entire record to me is fucking garbage personally. And the thing of it is like, today's New Year's Eve and this song is called New Year's Day, which means I'm going to have to hear somebody fucking bring it up tomorrow because she has, she has billions of fucking fans. But so yeah, there are some instruments here, but, and I appreciate her growing up, but when I listen to this, it's especially Ready For Her. Like, when I put that song on, I don't care if someone's like, yo, this dude's a boomer. I don't give a fuck. When I put that song on, I'm like, I hate my fucking life right now. The music specifically, I'm like, fuck this. So yeah, I don't like this record. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. This is full pivot turn into electronic music, which is fine. Again, you have to grow, you have to change, you have to do different stuff. There are people who love it. There are people who fucking hate it. I fucking hate it. Whatever. If you love it, good for you. Jomo, what do you think of Reputation?
This is the best sellout album of all time. Nice. Every song title has women affirming they're never wrong. Don't blame me. Look at What You Made Me Do. This is why we can't have nice things. And Call It What You Want. It's typical woman behavior. And I'm not gonna acknowledge it at all. I'm just gonna tell you that this is problematic. To her defense, she is a woman, and she has DSLs. All right, so it is what it is. But Taylor is a product of the industry, man, and I kind of feel bad for her. She's staying relevant during the time, really during the era of autism, gender confusion, and lawlessness. Hence her success today. Okay, I truly love that. Like, how self-absorbed she truly is, and she can't get enough of herself. It's like the beast is feeding the beast with shit. And do you think she jerks off to like her image of herself in the mirror? Like, she gets naked in front of a mirror and just jerks off to herself. I think she does that, in my opinion. But anyway, I hope she follows the path of other great singers, man, because this is truly a sellout album. And those singers I hope she follows are Whitney Houston, Amy Winehouse, and Janis Joplin. This is a 1 out of 10 for me this week. Thank you.
Here's the thing about your argument. Like, if she's saying like, yo, my pussy's gold or whatever, and you guys suck, what is she supposed to say? I'm lazy and fucking stink of BO on the couch. Like, she gotta say something good. You know what I mean? She's not going to shit talk herself on her albums, even if she is the shitty one in the relationship.
She is the Donald Trump of pop music.
Okay, a couple songs. Okay, Delicate, right? I like the ideas with the singing, right? Music's boring as shit. This is why we can't have nice things. That's something that people say in the military all the time. So, like, I've said that all the time. But, like, that song is fucking atrocious. And when I listen to it, I'm like, the fuck is this record? What am I listening to? Getaway Car. Okay, eyes glaze over the second, like, the song starts. The song on here, So It Goes. Seriously, I want to know what living human... what living, breathing human being actually likes that song? Don't show me a like on the internet. That's a bot. I don't believe that. That's just fake.
Yeah.
Show me an actual person who fucking liked. I want a hand raised. I want a name. Who the fuck likes that song? Jeez. So yeah, I don't know. It's like, there's a lot of things, like, sonically, I don't like this record. There's a bunch of things I don't like about it. And it's not even because, like, I don't care that it's all like, like electro pop or whatever. I'm fine with it. I don't care. There's, I don't know. The second I turn this album on, I want it to be turned off. It does not work for me. Again, people who have this dead last, like there was someone who like reviewed this album when it was dead last and they were like, yeah, so Reputation is a thing. Yeah. I don't know. I don't, also fucking Ed Sheeran makes another appearance here on Endgame, which I don't, I listened to it. The rapping in it is good by Future, but again, I don't know if this was a single because Ed Sheeran was like, yo, if I work with you, I'm so fucking good. It has to be a single. Maybe. Oh, song Dress, right? Memorable because of the edgy lyrics. I bought this dress so you could take it off, whatever. Oh, finger snaps in that song as well, which I'm giving props to. So yeah, it's cool that you're getting drunk now. You're fucking publicly, like letting everyone know. But I don't know. This album doesn't do it for me. I am dead last, and that's being fucking generous. Let's read a couple of YouTube comments. First, Taylor taking control of her image and coming back stronger than a 90s trend. She turned all the backlash and hate into an amazing piece of work. Next one says, no matter how many years pass, this will stay in our hearts forever. Next comment, such a badass comeback. Next one, Taylor writes everything she sings. She's earned her spot at the top. And lastly, 17 years in her music career and she's still... and she's still shining bright like a star. What a great legend Taylor has become. Yeah, I respect the fuck out of Taylor Swift. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie, I enjoyed listening to this week. This record just doesn't do it for me, but I do like her. I do respect her. Not that I matter. She's a billionaire, so it doesn't fuck. Who gives a shit what I say? But yeah, she's legit. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about Reputation or anything about Taylor Swift?
I have one more thing to say.
Oh, God.
My final thought.
Yeah, okay.
Taylor Swift is going to end up like Michael Jackson, accused of molesting kids.
I don't think so. I think that's more of a
God
dude
damn,
thing.
I thought I was this touching kids is a dude thing. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think it's more of a dude thing anyway. If you want more Taylor Swift, she had Fearless in 2008, she had Speak Now in 2010, Lover in 2019, Folklore in 2020, Evermore in 2020, and Midnights in 2022. She also had the four re-recorded albums that I talked about earlier. If I didn't say them, they are Fearless, Taylor's Version 2021, Red, Taylor's Version 2021, Speak Now, Taylor's Version 2023, 1989, Taylor's Version in 2023, and she will be doing the other two, her debut and whatever the fuck the other one is. Soon, 2024, 2025, who the hell knows? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, she's legit. She's a G. I don't give a fuck. The fact that she re-recorded her shit and just didn't bitch and moan about it or accept it, lay down and accept it, she's got G status from me. Anything else anyone wants to say before we get out of here?
Next.
Cool.
Who are we doing next week?
I don't know. Let's go to the list. Because I was going to do some debuts, but I can't remember. So let's go. Let's see if there's anything pops out here to people. Fallout Boy, you guys want to do that? That sucks. Disturbed, we can do Disturbed.
Just choose a goddamn band.
Yo, Kid Rock.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Why don't we why don't we just lump him in one fucking shit episode then?
let me. No, there's like four good debuts that I wanted to do. I can't remember what they were. Just do debuts, and I'll put four in there.
Okay. All right. Well, take care.
Have a good one.